The past couple of days, I know, on our hearts have been real heavy about the last, the 20-year anniversary of what happened in our country and literally in our world. And so today as we pray, we want to just remember all those and all of us that were affected by 9/11. Let's join together in prayer. Father, today, in many ways, we just are joyful and excited. And yet we do remember that sad time. And we pray that we've learned lessons about life and love and salvation. The gift of life is so fragile. And we thank you that we have another day to serve you. Help us not to take for granted when we get up in the morning and we live a day where we can share your love. Thank you for this worship time. We're thankful that others are back and healthy, and we thank you for a message that's going to speak to our hearts. The music, the message, the fellowship, it all honors you. We thank you, Lord, and we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. I just want to let Jason and his singers and the band know how much I and we appreciate them leading us in worship every week. It seems like all the songs you pick out, brother, have my name on it every week. Yeah, God picks them out. Okay. Very good, very good. Well, it is good to see you. Good to worship with you this morning. It's good to be back together. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking through my file cabinets upstairs in my house. The file cabinets house for me all of my college notes, the hard copies. This is before you took laptops to a class. And they have all of my seminary notes. They have all of the notes of the weddings I've done. They have all the notes of all the funerals I've done. They have a lot of my ministry notes. And I was just going through them. And when I got to the funerals that I had done, it took me way back to when and where I did my very first funeral. I still remember, without my notes, who it was I did the funeral for, the family of the church, and what I said. And as I look through those files of those for whom I've done funerals, I've noticed that most of the people lived to a good average old age. Some of them lived to a long time age. But unfortunately, I've done many funerals for babies, children, teens, young and middle-aged adults, all who died way too young. Unexpectedly, tragically, by illnesses, accidents, drug overdoses, and unfortunately, a number of suicides. In each case, children, parents, grandparents, siblings, aunts, uncles, friends were left in the sad wake of grief and despair. In those situations, those folks felt like their world had just fallen apart. Many of you here today know what I'm talking about. You may feel like your world has fallen apart, or you may feel like at some point in time your life fell apart. You've gotten a call and it's bad news from the doctor about yourself or a family member, or the boss calls you in and he says, "I'm sorry, we're cutting back. I need to let you go." Or when a loved one walks out the door, or a relationship in your family isn't good or right, or when you just don't have enough means to meet the needs of that month. So today I want to talk to you about when your world falls apart. 20 years ago yesterday, our nation's world fell apart. It's one of those you remember where you were kind of situations in history. And even today, if you saw any of the specials that were done about 9/11, you saw families, you saw five-year-olds who are now 25, you saw married couples who were married for 20 years who would have been married 40 years now, and you heard that their world still feels like, in some form or fashion, it's still fallen apart. What do you do when your world falls apart? This is a question that Jeremiah asked thousands of years ago. Jeremiah, as you may know, was a prophet in the Old Testament times in Israel. And during his lifetime, he saw his nation decimated. And Jeremiah wrote a book called Lamentations. Now, he also wrote the book called Jeremiah. He also wrote Lamentations. Lamentations is an old English word that means to complain. Jeremiah wrote a book of complaints. And in the middle of it, there's a very positive message about what to do when your world falls apart. Now, I hope you do have your outlines. You can follow along. Let's get into this and see what Jeremiah tells us. First of all, if you want to survive, if you want to get through your life when your world falls apart, you need to unload your frustrations on God. Unload your frustrations on God. You can complain to God. You can express your grief and your anger and your fears to God. And Jeremiah actually is incredibly bold with God. He calls God out. And he says, God, I don't like what you're doing in my life. Enough's enough. I need a change. You're treating me poorly. Look at these verses in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. This is Jeremiah speaking, and he says, I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. His is God. He's talking about God there. I've seen the affliction by the rod of God's wrath. He, God, has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than in the light. He, God, has turned his hand against me again and again, all day long. He, God, has made my skin grow old and broken my bones. He, God, has surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry out for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Now, that scripture goes contrary to a lot of other scriptures we read, right? So which one is right? They both are. There's no right or wrong in the Bible. We just need to understand the bigger picture. And Jeremiah here is just letting God know how he feels. He's complaining to God. And actually, he's really just getting started in these verses. He does it for the next five chapters. Can you imagine? And he tells God, God, this stinks. Why in the world would you put this kind of stress on me? Now, why would God allow Jeremiah to write this in the book of Lamentations as part of our Bible? Because God wants you to know that when you feel like Jeremiah felt, he can handle your complaints. He can handle the grief you feel. He can handle the frustration you feel. He can handle the anger that you feel. Look at Lamentations 3, verses 17 through 18. Jeremiah said, I cannot find peace. I cannot find peace. Peace. I cannot remember happiness. I tell myself I am finished. And I can't count on the Lord to do anything for me. You ever felt that way? I'm guessing most of us have. You may not have said it, but you were thinking it. It was in your heart. God, I've had enough. This isn't right. Life seems unfair. God says, that's okay. This is just a step in your recovery process. When your world is falling apart, this is just one of the things you need to do. God already knows what you think. He knows how you feel. Just share it with him. You're not going to knock him off his throne. You're not going to cause him to have a bad day. God can handle your frustrations. He's not going to love you any less when you unload on him. He already knows about it. So tell him, share your frustrations with him, unload on him when you feel like your world is falling apart. There's a second thing we need to do when your world falls apart. Number two, turn your focus from your pain to God's love. From your pain to God's love. Turn your focus from your pain, your problems, your pressures, your difficulties to God's love. You may still be mad at God. You may be railing at God. You may be raging against God. But eventually you need to start turning your focus to the fact that God still loves you in the midst of your world falling apart. I'm not saying you minimize your pain. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying you stuff it down. You still let God be your audience when you share your frustrations with him, but you also, in addition to that, you still realize he loves you. Look at Lamentations 3, verses 19 through 26. The thought of my pain and my homelessness is bitter poison. I think of it constantly, and my spirit is depressed. Yet hope returns when I remember this one thing. The Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continue. Fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunshine. The Lord is all I have. So in him I put my hope. Jeremiah says his pain is like bitter poison. Then he says, I think of it constantly and my spirit gets depressed. If you only think of your pain constantly, and that's all you think about, you will become depressed. He says the thought of his pain is like bitter poison, and bitterness is a poison that hurts you. Your bitterness doesn't hurt someone else. The person against whom you are bitter isn't even thinking about you. Bitterness is a self-inflicted wound. And you're not going to fully get over your discouragement, your depression, until you stop being bitter, until you learn to forgive. Then he says, and here's the switch where he turns his focus from pain to God's love. He says, yet hope returns. How did it return? He said, hope returns when I remember this. I remember the Lord's unfailing love and his mercy still continue. Fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise. The Lord is all I have, so I put my hope in him. One thing I can count on is that God's love is unfailing and it is as fresh as the morning and as sure as the sunrise. The Lord is all I have. He's all I need. So I put my trust in him. You know, it's been said that you don't know that God is all you need until he's all you've got. You ever been in a situation where God just pulled everything out from under you and you just have nothing, and then you realize, I've got to depend on God. And as a matter of fact, now that I'm totally dependent upon him, I realize he's all I need. Sometimes God allows things to come into our lives to make our world fall apart so we'll learn and relearn to trust totally, absolutely in him. Look at Lamentations 3, 31 through 33. The Lord is merciful, and he won't reject us forever. He may bring us sorrow, but his love for us is sure and strong. He takes no pleasure in causing us grief or pain. Some people think God is this cosmic killjoy, that he's this universal dictator who wants to make your life miserable. Listen, that's not God, that's your parents. Right? Don't confuse God with folks who have had a poor influence in your life. Don't take some imperfect picture of whomever's important in your life and put that and project that onto God. God doesn't take pleasure in making your life miserable. When you're going through pain and through loss, what is God doing? He's grieving with you. He's feeling for you. He's staying with you. So what do? You unload your frustration to God, and even though you might be mad at him, you remind yourself in the end, he loves you. You may not even believe it when you tell yourself that. God still loves me. I know he loves me. Your mind and your feelings, your heart may be reeling against it, but you've got to speak it because it's true. And when you speak truth, Satan has to flee because he's a liar. Even if you don't feel it, you tell yourself the truth, and the truth is that you are a child of God and he loves you and he cares for you. The next thing we do when our world falls apart, number three, is we need to get alone with God and wait. We need to get alone with God and wait. Now, waiting before God is a spiritual discipline. It's a habit. It's a spiritual skill. And you must learn how to wait before God, or you're going to stay stressed out most of your life. People who don't know how to wait on God get very anxious very quickly. But waiting on God can become your number one de-stressor in your life. So what does it mean to wait on God? It means you do what your parents have told you to do before. Sit down and shut up. You sit down, you be still, and you wait. In quietness. You don't say anything. You just be quiet and you listen. You need to find time to do it just a little bit every day. You need to read your Bible and pray. Yes, you need to have your devotions. Absolutely. But you need for a little while just to sit before God and wait. Say, Kevin, what am I waiting on? Waiting on God. How do I know if he shows up? I don't know. It's different for us. It's different for you. And it may be different each day. But you at least give him the chance to say something to you, to reveal something to you. He might put a thought in your head, a feeling in your heart. He might be pointing you to a scripture that you'll read in a little while, but just be still. Psalm 46 says that. Be still and what? Know that I am God. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 28 and 29 says this, when life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Look at this. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait for hope to appear. Enter the silence. Something people who have children can never do at home. So you may have to find a different place. But you enter silently and you wait for God. Folks, God wants to talk to you. You say, well, I've never really heard, I've never sensed God speak to me. It may be because all your circuits are busy, right? We have so many different devices, so many social media platforms. We've got our mind and our hands and our fingers and we stay so busy all the time. No wonder we feel a disconnect from God. When's the last time you went through your life, a day, 24 hours, with your computer off, your devices off, and no access to social medias whatsoever, television unplugged, car radio? When's the last time you did that? Now, I dare say none of us have done that in the last month. Maybe we'd be better off if we did. Let me tell you this now. When you turn everything off, you're going to feel a little anxious. But I promise 24 hours later, the world's still going to be here. Everything's going to be all right. The only difference is you'll be renewed. You'll have waited for God. You have somehow, he would have got in your presence, you in his presence, and it just renews you. You need to find time to do that. Now, lest it look like this, you know, when I'm preaching, I'm always talking to me first. These sermons you get, these are all for me. I just throw them out there to you, hoping they'll stick somewhere. I'm not the world's worst about social platforms. I don't do them anymore. I don't do any of that stuff, but I don't always find time to get quiet either. I don't know where I was. I got sidetracked by talking to you about, are we up to Matthew 6:6? Let's go to Matthew 6:6. This is why I use notes. Even with notes, I lose it sometimes. Matthew 6:6. In Matthew 6:6, most of our translations say something to the effect, be still, know that I am God. This is the Message paraphrase, and I love the way he puts it out there. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. Don't you like that? Get that quiet, secluded place. No role play. Just be there with God. Simple, honest. And the focus will shift from us to God. That stuff doesn't happen unless we find time to be quiet. I want to challenge you this week. We had a small group lesson about this, I don't know, a couple months ago or something, about being silent, and we all said, okay, we're going to find time this week to take 5 minutes, maybe it was 10, just to be silent, just to be quiet. And I tried it once. So it's time to try it again. Find a place where you can be silent for 10 minutes before God. And I think you'll be amazed at how God uses that to strengthen you. Lamentations 3, 25 through 26. The Lord is good to everyone who trusts in him. So it is best for us to wait in patience, to wait for him to save us. Before you go out and solve all the world's problems yourself or try to rebuild your life on your own, just sit, wait for God to save you. William Prescott said at the Battle of Bunker Hill in 1775, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. Meaning, don't waste bullets that are going to miss. So the enemy is marching, getting closer and closer. They outnumber you 10-1, and your leader says, wait, wait, wait on God. Wait on God. Then while you're waiting, number four, ask God to relieve your fears. Ask God to relieve your fears. How many of you all remember a section in the paper decades ago? We're all going to show our age here, right? How many of you remember a section of the paper called Dear Abby? Remember Dear Abby? Okay, good, good, good. There was a column where Abigail Van Buren would give advice to people in the newspaper. Do you know that she received 10,000 letters a day from people asking for her advice? Let me give you an example of one of them. It said, Dear Abby, my in-laws double dip everything. During a holiday get-together, a family member stood eating out of a pot, double-dipping 8 times, and my mother-in-law informs me that her dog eats off the plates, but she washes them well enough so there are no germs. How do I handle this? I can't eat there anymore. Signed, Grossed Out. Dear Grossed Out, eat before you go, and go as infrequently as possible. Some sage advice. Abby, Dear Abby, was once asked, what's the most common problem you are asked about? She said, fear. Fear of the future, fear of not having enough money, fear of death, fear of being alone, fear. Jeremiah had a real reason to be fearful. Not only was his nation falling apart economically, socially, militarily, he was a prophet, which meant he had to tell his people, the children of God, he had to tell them the truth about what was really happening with them spiritually. Prophets are not always people that others want to listen to. And he was very unpopular among his people. He had a lot of reasons to be fearful. As a matter of fact, look at Lamentations 3, 53 through 57. My enemies threw me into a pit and dropped stones on me. The water flowed above my head, and I cried out, "This is the end." But I called on your name, Lord, from deep within the well, and you heard me. You listened to my pleading. You heard my weeping. Yes, you came at my despairing cry, and you told me, do not fear. People put Jeremiah in the bottom of a well. Most of the time it was a cistern. That meant it was a hole dug out in the ground filled with water, and typically the water after a while would putrefy. And the water came up and flowed over his head, and they're throwing rocks down on top of him. He didn't know how much longer he could sustain himself, and he had every reason to be afraid. And we would do well to emulate what Jeremiah did. The Bible tells us, Jeremiah said, I called on your name. You listened to my pleading. You heard my weeping. You came at my despairing cry, and you told me, do not fear. Folks, when we get in situations where we have fear that seem to be dominating our life, or even if they're just fear that's starting to encroach upon our life, our minds, our hearts, our situations, we need to remember not to fear. Now, come on, Kevin, you said we're allowed to experience feelings. I know, experience the fear you feel. But remember, God says, don't fear. Ultimately, don't fear. You ask God to relieve your fears. God, take these away, or give me strength to endure them. You do what David did in Psalm 34, verse 4. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me, freeing me from all my fears. God wants us to be fear-free. One of the biggest fears I think that people have when life starts falling apart is feeling stuck. That their life is never going to change, that their patterns are never going to change, that life is hopeless and there's no way out. The happy days are over, that you're not going to see sunlight anymore, that your best days are behind you, that your worst days are in front of you. That's fear. Just ask God, God, relieve my fears. And the last thing we'll look at this morning that you need to do when your world is falling apart is you need to expect Jesus to restore your life. Expect Jesus to restore your life. Pray what Jeremiah prayed in Lamentations 5:21, where he said, restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joys we once had. When your world falls apart, expect God, expect Jesus to restore your life. Ask him to bring you back. What in your world seems to be falling apart? Whatever it is, if you think your life is beyond repair, you're wrong. If you think it cannot be restored, you're wrong. If you think your best days are behind you, you are wrong. If you think it's impossible for God to bring good out of bad, you're wrong. Jesus is in the business of restoration, reconditioning, refurbishing, renewing that which is lost. And he can do it for your life. If your world is falling apart, I want you to know you're in a church that genuinely cares for you. If your world is falling apart and you want us to know that, you can let the pastors know. We'll pray for you, and if you want one of us to contact you, we'll do that. Maybe you just want to talk with somebody and just another church member other than the pastors, and that's good. Maybe you need to share your story, your hurt, your experience with them. And I hope that if you sense and see that someone is struggling as though a part of their world is falling apart, I hope that you will love enough to just ask them if they're all right. Could you pray for them? And one of the ways we encourage you to do this is simply to put on the back of your Connect card, and we show this to you all the time, and it's important. If there's something in your life you want us to pray for, just fill it out here. Only the pastors see this. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. You can fill the front side out. Sometimes we get these without names because you want to be anonymous, and that's okay too. During the response time or after the service, you can go and put them in one of the boxes around the sanctuary. We'll get those, and we will pray for you. If we need to contact you, you ask us to do that, we'll do that. There are many of us in here who have reasons to rejoice, and we're rejoicing, and we're happy. And things are good in life. There's nothing wrong with that. We ought to bless God and thank him for that. Thank him for those days, those weeks, those months, or those years. and to keep us mindful that not everyone is having that same experience at this particular time, and reach out to them. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for Jeremiah and for his honesty and the struggles that he went through as he wrote this book of Lamentations, of complaints. God, life can be so good. We can be so happy at times, so fulfilled. And that's wonderful, and we thank you for that. But at times, it seems like our world is falling apart. And we need your help, your intervention. We need people to look in on us. We need to confess this to you. We need to let you know how we feel. We need to genuinely be honest with ourselves and with you and others around us. And we need people to come and intervene for us and with us. We need to realize that there are Patricks all around who need to know the good news that we do, that you're a God who cares and who will help people through the difficulties they're experiencing. Now, God, bless this part of our service as we continue to worship you in our response time. May we respond to you in our heads, our minds, our hearts, our spirits. Get up and move around the sanctuary if we need to do that. Whatever it is you're calling us to do, we pray that you'll use this time to allow us to do that. Draw us close to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we do want to give you a chance to respond. You can fill out those Connect cards, turn those in. You can come talk to one of us up here. We'll be glad to talk and pray with you. You want to have communion today, you want to share in communion, there are stations you can go to get the communion cup with the wafer and the juice in there that represents the body and the blood of Christ, and you can take communion, you can do it at the station, you can bring it back to your pew. Whatever you think God needs you to do, you can do that. Now, if you'd like to come over to the cross, there's a table there with some paper and pens. You can write down a prayer request or a joy or a praise or a burden. You can write it down, just fold it in half, and literally just give it to God by nailing it to the cross. No one looks at that. That's between you and God. All right? Jason and those behind me are going to sing. If you want to sing while they do, if you want to stay where you are and pray, if you want to be in silence, you respond the way God leads you now. All right? After this, we'll have one more song.
Lord, today, as we go out, remind us of your great love. When our world seems to be falling apart and going, things just seem really difficult and almost impossible, that we will depend on you, that we'll listen for you and your word and hear what you have to say. Lord, thank you for the message today, the friendship and the fellowship and love that we felt. And we lift it up now, Lord, to you in Jesus' name. Amen.